Welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Jungle. My name is Jim Rome. What's cracking? Good to have you. This show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage, always with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so in case you're curious about how it all sets up today, I've got your answers. Welcome to Tuesday. It is Masters Week. I can start by telling you that. And in addition to saying that it's Masters Week, I can also tell you later on today, I will be taping a podcast with Elk. It is a Jim Rome podcast tradition, unlike any other. Elk on Masters Week. So, mates, the podcast pushes out on Wednesday. I will tape Elk later today. He and I have been in contact with one another already. So keep that in mind. It is Masters Week. Going to be a good week. Going to be a good day. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Go ahead, start dialing. You want to use that phone number because we are open phones in hour number one. Our interviews do not start until hour number two. Hit me up right now, 1-800-636-8686. You can follow me on Twitter, as you know, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, haveatake.com. I start every program by telling you those ways to get involved. Participate. I'd love to have you in here. All right, the interview is set up like this. In fact, three NFL interviews. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, wide receiver for the Pack, joins me at the top of hour number two. Top of hour number three, this guy has been lights out. Dalvin Cook, Vikings running back, joins me. Top of the third hour, all of a sudden they look like they've turned their season around. Also on hour number three, Seattle Seahawks wide receiver Tyler Lockett. So three big NFL names between now and the end of the program, and hour number one is wide open. Start dialing. You get through Hawk, you get to me, you get on the air. Everything's good. All right, so let me start with Monday Night Football. The thing about Monday Night Football is that it's supposed to be fun, right? In fact, Monday Night Football is supposed to be one of the best things ever. It's supposed to be two good teams set apart from the rest of the league, playing in prime time. It's supposed to be kick-ass. You know, something to look forward to. Because let's be real. Can we be real for a minute? Lots of people do not like their jobs. Hell, lots of people do not like their lives. And they live for the weekends. It's sad. It shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. But for a lot of folks, it is that way. Thanks, Alvin. Way to pile on. I mean, it really is that sad, right? They're living for the weekend, but Monday Night Football, in a way, is an extension of the weekend. It's a way to extend the weekend, so it's awesome. At least it's supposed to be. Last night was not. Last night was none of that. And after suffering through a primetime game with the one-win Giants last week, what we got last night was a game between the two-win Pats and the zero-win Jets. That was our reward. That was our so-called carrot. Right, a carrot. A carrot covered in crap. A crap-covered carrot.
Pet the crap.
Get! I mean, sure, there are certain games that are so bad they're good, but that was not one of them. That was just bad. So bad that the Jets, one of the worst teams in the history of the NFL, were winning for most of that game. I'm not sure what's more humiliating, the fact that the Pats were losing to the Jets or the fact that they were losing to the Joe Flacco Jets. Called a tie for last. I mean, these are the New England Patriots, winners of six Super Bowls in the past 20 years, led by the greatest coach in NFL history. And they were losing to Joe Flacco and the Jets. Man, you want to talk about a fall from grace. When it goes fast. Am I right, Chouds? You go from competing for a Super Bowl every single year to trying to grind out a win in prime time against an 0-8 Jets team. Bill Belichick should be able to pull 53 randos off the street, men, women, and children, and still beat the Jets. But Belichick and 53 professional football players were having a damn hard time of it last night. You know those moments when you see something and you know it's real, but your brain can't make sense of it. Like, you see it, but you just can't get your head around it. You can't figure out how to process what you're seeing. And in those moments, you've got to come up with some sort of alternate explanation for what's happening so it does make sense. That's what happened last night. Bill Belichick losing to Adam Gase is so weird and so bizarre that folks were rolling with the theory that Belichick was trying to lose that game because he didn't want the Jets to get Trevor Lawrence. That's how hard folks were working to make sense of that horrible display last night. Like, because there's no way the Patriots could actually be losing to the Jets. So there's got to be something else at work here, right? And I don't blame folks for trying to explain it that way. I mean, how else do you explain Joseph Vincent Flacco doing this to a Bill Belichick defense?
First and 10, Flacco play fake, steps up, throws, deep ball to the right. It is caught for the touchdown. Rashad Perriman, over the shoulder grab. Flacco perfectly thrown, and Perriman does the rest. Jets go in front on a 50-yard bomb.
You know what's even crazier about that TD? You know what was one of the great things in a night of crappy things? You know what was great last night? You know what was one of my favorite moments of the entire NFL season? The fact that Joe Flacco passed Joe Montana on the all-time passing yardage list with that bomb. That is absolutely mind-boggling. That is incredible. And you know Flacco was thinking, hey, Joe, scoreboard, look up at it.
I will. I'm going to.
Joe's the GOAT. Joe's the GOAT. Joe Montana. Joe Montana is the GOAT. 4-0 in Super Bowls. Joe's the GOAT. Yeah, well, I'm better than the GOAT. Whatever that is. And then he went out and he chased that with this.
Flacco, shotgun. Steps off his back foot, lofts it, end zone. It is out of bounds. Crowder believes he was inbounds and believes he has a touchdown. Crowder hauled it in.
Well, Crowder on an inside route to the corner. 1 foot. It is a touchdown.
Boy.
They're going to overrule that incomplete. It will be a New York Jets touchdown.
Crowder somehow toe-tapped it in for the score.
The only thing better, the only thing that would have made that better is if Flacco was shouting, hey!
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 Every time he threw one of those TD passes. Hey!
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 If he breaks, hey!
Hey! Hey! One more note on Flacco before I move on. I cannot get enough of the sideline shots of Joe Flacco during games. Like, I want a full-time Flacco cam on him when the defense is on the field. You got most quarterbacks studying a tablet, talking to their receivers or their coaches or the offensive line, you know, showing some sign of life, focused, locked in, you know, like, I don't know, caring. Not Joe Flacco. Hey, he's sitting there staring off into space, zoned out, looking like he'd rather be anywhere else in the world other than where he actually was in that moment. You know, like Adam Hawk during this show. Hey, I'd love to know exactly what the hell that guy's thinking about in those moments, because it sure doesn't seem like it's got anything at all to do with the game of football or his job. But then again,
hey,
it's not like he had to look at a tablet or any Xeroxed pics of the D.
Hey,
or talk to anybody, because what the guy was doing,
hey,
was working against the alleged greatest defensive coach ever. And his alleged vaunted secondary. Because Joe Flacco airing it out and then looking stone-faced was not even the weirdest part of last night. Because the Jets, the 0-8 Jets, were beating the Pats. I cannot stress that enough. Adam Gase was getting over on Bill Belichick. Adam Gase was turning Bill Belichick inside out. That's weird. That's weird as hell. It was so weird and so bad that the announcers on that game were trying to make the case that the Jets had a bunch of playmakers on the outside. Probably picked up on that, right? Yeah, I mean, sure, right, of course. Like, it's unfair how many playmakers the 0-8 Jets have. What? I mean, does the salary cap apply to everybody except the Jets? Where do they get all these playmakers? Do they get extra picks in the draft? How the hell do the Jets have so many more weapons on the outside than everybody else? Like, that's how hard that crew was selling all their explosive talent on the outside. Right. Yeah, so many playmakers. That's the real reason why they had not scored more than 10 points in the four games leading into last night, because they had so many playmakers. Now, I'll tell you what the reason is. The reason is the Patriots are a shell of themselves. They're flat out not a good football team. It's got nothing to do with tanking. It's got everything to do with the fact that their defense was getting shredded by, hey, Joe Flacco. Hey. But, as bad as the Pats are, they couldn't keep it up forever. They were not going to outsuck the Jets. You can't do that. Nobody can. It's impossible. The Jets were determined to lose that game. You saw signs of it in the first quarter when Gase decided to punt on 4th-and-3 from the Pats 41. Can we stop on that point for a minute? You're 0-8, and you're punting on 4th-and-3 from your opponent's 41.
Swing the bat.
Quit. Right. The quit is so strong in this one. The cowardice is so strong in this one. The commitment to getting Trevor Lawrence is so strong in this one. And sure enough, the Jets did come on in the fourth quarter. There was that time when they had 12 guys on the field when the Pats were going to kick a field goal. I mean, that was effectively handing the Pats a first down. And then the Pats couldn't do anything with it, and they end up kicking a field goal. Two bad teams unable to figure out a way to win. And if we're being honest, the real highlight of the game, other than when Flacco passed Joe Montana, was when somebody was absolutely stunned by the refs calling holding on a Pats receiver. Listen.
Blockers in front of him took a big shot. There's a flag down. It's a gain of 9. I think it's going to come back.
We're going to get a hold.
And Harris stays down.
Holding. Offense number 16. 10-yard penalty. First down.
That's Myers, the receiver.
Pretty cool with the Pats sign. Lil Jon for last night. Honestly, I bet John could have helped that offense last night. I haven't heard a better mic'd up reaction since the "we did it" guy celebrated the Spurs maintaining home court advantage over the Grizz back in the day.
Context to the rebound, a buzzer sounds, and San Antonio survives and takes a 2-0 lead.
We did it! We did it!
Just when you were thinking the most Jets thing ever would be for them to beat the Patriots and hurt their chances of getting Lawrence, just when you thought they were going to lose by winning, they come through. Hey, listen, to tie this whole thing up, don't kid yourselves. This is not a team with a ton of pride or dignity or any at all. And it sure as hell is not a well-coached team. And when they needed to, they manned down. When it would have been so much easier to just give up and actually win, they dug deep, they battled, they figured out a way to lose. Because in the end, the Pats go down the field, they kick the game winner, and in so doing, they didn't just win the game, they spared the entire country. Because the last thing this country needed was for that game to go to overtime. And yes, Chouds, yes, Pats fan, your team did what it had to do. They had to have that one, and they were able to grind it out. And no, there are no style points. But you beat one of the worst teams ever. And they were playing their backup, and you were a 10-point favorite. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I know you're not going to apologize for that win, but you should. Exactly what does that get you? Don't act like that saved your season, because it didn't. It just kept your season alive for a few more hours, because you're not back on track. You're 3-5, and you have to deal with the Ravens next. And you're not good, period. As for the Jets, good thing they woke the hell up before it was too late. Nearly choked and won, jeopardizing that first pick overall. Man, that lack of focus is exactly why you're such an embarrassment. It's why you're the Jets. Eyes on the bleeping prize, fellas. Now is not the time to let go the rope. Now is not the time to fall off the path. Now is not the time to start trying or showing professionalism. You came this close to choking and winning. The hell are you thinking? If management really wanted you to win games, they would have fired Crazy Eyes a long time ago. You're not in it to win it. You're in it to lose it. And don't forget it. So get back at it and do all those things that you were previously doing. You know, all the wrong things. The things that got you to 0-8 in the first place. In other words, man the hell down and finish the job. Now is not the time to convince yourselves or anybody else that you matter. That you have heart, that you have grit, that you have pride. You don't. Or you wouldn't be 0-8 in the first place. Do your job. And your job is to do everything wrong. Don't forget it. Come that close and choke. Come on, man. You got a perfect season working. Don't blow it now.
10-yard penalty.
What? 1-800-636-8686. Yes, clones, I am well aware that Tony La Russa got picked up for DUI again. And the White Sox still hired him again, 34 years after the fact. I have thoughts. I will get to that later on.
34.
You know, another topic. Good. It's good, Howie. 34.
34.
Another topic that we are so beaten down over and don't want to talk about, COVID. I get it. I understand it. But it's not a good week around the country or in sports. In fact, it's everywhere in sports. So as much as I don't want to go there again, I have to go there again. The one beef that I never knew existed or that we needed, Matt Cassel and Todd Haley from years ago. I will reset that for you. Also, I've talked over the years quite a bit about Fantasy Guy. Understand this. I have nothing against fantasy football. In fact, I'm all about it. I'm here for it. There's nothing wrong. See? Case in point. We have fantasy alerts all the time. I'm here to help. I like fantasy football. I just don't like the D-bag that is Fantasy Guy. And Fantasy Guy just about got his comeuppance. When Fantasy Guy did what Fantasy Guy does, got all bent, lost his mind, slid into one of his players' DMs, questioned his manhood, except this time a player fought back. And a player fought back by saying, I'll fight you anytime. Here's where I live. Come and get some. I'll tell you how that played out. I do want to talk about Patrick Mahomes and the fact that this guy, again, is doing historic things and nobody seems to care. Nobody's paying attention. Nobody seems to care. And I made the point at the time, when everybody lost their minds, when the team committed a half a bill with a B, I said, if anything, that guy's underpaid. And then everybody lost their minds all over again. I'm going to stand by that. In fact, I'm going to accept your apologies for it. This guy literally is underpaid. They literally will get a good ROI. And did I mention it is Masters Week? Who you got? I'll tell you who I got. Elk. Squirrel 2 tweets, Joe Flacco was stone-faced last night. Yours, Cody Bellinger. Jimmy Kimmel asked Cody Bellinger about that. And Bellinger made it very clear, I am not high. Dear Jimmy, 1983, we are working for the weekend. Best regards, lover boy. Everybody's working for the weekend. Everybody wants a new and leave it to the nut to reset today in jungle history. Stucknut, the jungle historian. Today in jungle history, 2005, Jim Rome fell down the stairs. 5:30 a.m., lights were off, missed the last step, took a header, ridiculed by Cat. That's true. Happy anniversary to me. What do you get a guy on the anniversary of him missing the last step and seemingly separating his shoulder? True story. 15 years ago today, I missed that last step. I was rolling around on the marble. Alley Cat was mocking me. I'm on the floor rolling around. I walk down that same set of stairs every single morning at the same exact time for I think 9 years. Lights out. Never had an issue. Didn't count the stairs. Never needed to. Just had this sense. On that day, I missed the last step. Crashed into the marble. Never felt so much pain. I tore my shoulder up once working out, and even that didn't hurt as much as it did when I hit that marble that morning. Literally before I hit the ground, I'd already made up a lie. Oh yeah, I was throwing the weights around. Tore my shoulder up. Had a real issue. I had made up a lie before I hit the ground. It was so embarrassing. And I was going to go with that lie. I'd already rehearsed it before I hit the marble. Man, that was bad. Hey, Nut, thanks for bringing that up. Happy anniversary to me. I think we'll take a short time out. And then I think we'll come right back. Capital One Shopping instantly searches for available coupon codes and automatically applies them at checkout. So when you find the perfect golf gear, Capital One Shopping looks for coupon codes. Just download Capital One Shopping to your computer and then let it do the work for you. And it's free. You do not even need a Capital One card to use it. It's like getting a hole in one without even trying. Capital One Shopping. It's kind of genius. Kind of like getting a hole-in-one without even swinging the club. How awesome would that feel? What's in your wallet? It's in the hole. Capital One. Savings and available coupons will vary. Keep that in mind.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
This weekend on CBS, it will truly be a tradition unlike any other when the best players in the world are on the course at Augusta National. A special Autumn at the Masters live coverage getting underway Saturday at 1 Eastern. And then Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific on CBS. And as we've done for the last few years, we get you ready for the Masters and the coverage with Steve Elkington. Elk is a 10-time winner on tour. Elk is a major winner. Elk is a jungle legend. Elk will be on the Jim Rome podcast, which we are going to shoot out on Wednesday. You never know what you're going to get from elk.
We see cat.
That's the beauty of elk. We see cat, mate, of course. And the reason we never know what we're going to get from elk is elk never knows what he's going to get from elk. He admits as much to me. Like, hey, mate, you can ask me who I think is going to win, but I never know what I'm going to say. He says things like that to me. Also, elk has got a new game for you clones to get down with. Everybody get down. And I'm really curious to get his thoughts on Bryson DeChambeau coming off that unbelievable performance of the U.S. Open. Does this carry to Augusta?
Robert Donga.
What's amazing is you got the defending champ, the big cat, Tiger Woods. And that's not even the story. Tiger winning it was absolutely amazing. And Tiger defending it is like an afterthought coming in, which is incredible. Because of DeChambeau. A lot of talk about what he might do to the course. That he might Tigerize the course. That he might do to the track what Tiger did back in 97. Remember, this guy went into the quarantine as a man and came out a beast. 40 pounds heavier, 40 yards longer, and completely overpowered the U.S. Open. And now the question is, what will he do this week? Can't wait to find out. Can't wait to find out how much weight he's gained since we last saw him and how much longer he is. Saw a picture of him yesterday, man. This dude is built like a brick bleep house. I mean, my man, he is thick. He is really thick. And I'm really curious to see what Elk is going to have to say about him. You know, Elk is kind of an old school guy. Elk, as I mentioned, has won 10 times on tour. So is Bryson good or bad for golf? Good or bad for the sport? Does Elk have any problem with him individually, personally, professionally, his approach? And again, I have no idea what Elk's going to say to any of this. I also know one more thing about Elk. I come to find out that Elk apparently nearly burned a cabin at Augusta to the ground last year.
Burning.
I'm anxious to ask him about that, too. So who you got this week? Who do you like? Elk will be joining me tomorrow on our podcast. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, maybe the White Sox can hire your drunk bus to cart La Russa around all season. All right, so the thing about Tony La Russa and about the drunk bus, I don't know, again, a different time, a different era. Same show, but a different show. Maybe I said and did certain things back in the day that probably I shouldn't have. I mean, like the drunk bus, it has the same phone number. Back then, I had what I called a celebrity drunk bus. This was before there was Uber and there was Lyft and all these other ride shares and ways to get home. I wanted to do my part because there were a bunch of idiots that continued to drink and drive, and I never understood it. So rather than just complain about it, I took it upon myself to do something about it. And yes, I was a little bit selfish. I saw a way to make some money. It was a side hustle. So what I did was I started a company, and I had a fleet of Jim Rome celebrity drunk buses. I know. I mean, maybe I shouldn't have named it that. My heart was in the right place. I wanted to get these idiots off the street before they hurt or killed themselves or somebody else. I mean, even worse, us. I was offering a service to help those who seemingly could not help themselves or get out of their own way. So I told every celebrity, every athlete, really anybody. It wasn't just limited to celebrities, but that's how I came up with the idea. I said, take this phone number. Write this phone number down and keep it in your wallet. 1-800-BRAH. Maybe not the best form, but my heart was in the right place. I was trying to help. And yes, I was trying to put a few Benjamins in my pocket too. 1-800-BRAH. Like, I don't know who has that number now. I think people still occasionally try to call it. You go ahead, call that number right now and tell me who answers. It won't be me. The business has long since gone out of business. But when Jamie in Green Bay says maybe the White Sox can hire your drunk bus to cart La Russa around all season, I no longer have a Jim Rome celebrity drunk bus. And the fact of the matter is, it's not funny. It's not funny. DUIs are not funny. The fact that this guy got another one and they hired him is not funny. In fact, it's stupid. I want to know if the White Sox knew. If they knew, when did they know? And if they didn't know, are they going to fire this guy? And if they're not going to fire this guy, does that mean they're okay with this guy? I mean, the whole thing is so weird and so dumb to me. Hiring a 76-year-old guy who already had one DUI, who had not managed in 9 years, who has almost no use for today's players or analytics, was already weird. And then come to find out, they hired him a day after he got picked up for DUI again? Really weird and really dumb. I will have that for you. 1-800-636-8686. Telephone lines are wide open. Yeah, I mentioned it's an open phone first hour. You should take advantage of that. Top of the hour, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Dalvin Cook in the third hour. Tyler Lockett in the third hour. Since it is the bottom of the hour, you know.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the hour you want to call. This is the time you want to call to get in. We're talking Packers football. Marquez Valdez-Scantling joining us. Top of the hour. NFC right now is wide freaking open, isn't it? Wide open. Especially after that beatdown the Tampa Bay suffered on Monday night. Pretty hard to make an argument that they are Super Bowl caliber when they're losing by five TDs. Nobody has ever won the Super Bowl after losing a game by 35 points. And that's exactly what happened to them. Dalvin Cook has been out of his mind of late. We have him at the top of hour number three. And then where does that leave Seattle? Tyler Lockett joins me also in hour number three. Seattle, as we know, has had some trouble defensively.
Seattle.
So where are they right now? Russ has had a couple of challenging weeks when it looked like Russ was your odds-on lock to win the MVP.
Hey, Seattle.
Let's not forget. Yeah, hey, Seattle. And don't forget about Patrick Mahomes, who jumped over Russ and is now your odds-on favorite to win the MVP. Phone lines are open. So speaking of Seattle, I've got Tyler Lockett coming up later on, but quick word about Chris Carson, running back for the Seahawks. And he's having a solid season despite the fact that he's missed a couple of games with a bum wheel. He suffered a sprain in week 7 in that OT loss to the Cards. So the Hawks are obviously eager to get him back, considering what he does for their run game and the play action for Russ and the fact that he's in the top 10 of the league in average yards per carry. I mean, the guy is a difference maker. They need him. They need him, and they need him back on the field. Russ needs him back on the field. The Hawks need him back on the field. But they're not the only ones. They are not the only ones who want him on the field. Of course, fantasy guy wants him on the field too. Fantasy guy is waiting for that alert. Fantasy guy is waiting to hear that Carson is ready to roll. So while we're on the topic, let me give you my quick and standard disclaimer on fantasy football before we get any further. Fantasy football is great. Fantasy football has been outstanding for the sport and for fans. I'm all about it. I'm here for it. I like fantasy football. I'm here for it. Fantasy guy, on the other hand, is not great. Fantasy guy is not one and the same as fantasy football. All right, let's make a really important distinction. I'm here for fantasy football. I'm not here for fantasy guy. And another distinction that needs to be made. Not all fantasy players are fantasy guy. You can play fantasy football without being fantasy guy. We all know who I'm talking about. The game itself is awesome. A lot of people who play the game are awesome. But some of the dorks who do are not. You know the tool bags that I'm talking about. You know the D-bags who ruin it for everybody. The bags who talk about their teams like you actually give a damn. You know, the ones who bring you over to their desk just to show you how many points they need on a Monday night to pull off their comeback against their friend from college that you've never met and that you do not give a damn about. You know, the weirdos who write power rankings for their Facebook group and pollute your eardrums with all their trade possibilities. And these, by the way, the guy I'm talking about right here, that is the least offensive of the fantasy guy D-bag. The really obscene ones, the ones who actually need professional help, are the psychos who rush to social media and bitch out or even threaten an NFL player who did not perform to their liking. It happens all the time. It happens every week. It happens every year. In 2020, for as strange as it has been, is no different. Because this past weekend, when the Hawks were in Buffalo, some loser on Instagram slid into Chris Carson's DMs and wrote the following to him. Quote, "Yo, P-word, tape your foot up and go the F in. You're killing my fantasy team right now. F you," end quote. It's an actual quote. A direct quote, except for the fact that the guy actually typed out the F-bombs and actually called Chris Carson the word that starts with a P that I absolutely cannot and would not ever say on the radio. Keep in mind, Carson did not even travel with the team to Buffalo. So telling a guy to tape up his foot and get the F in there during a game that he was more than 2,500 miles away from is not just moronic, it's physically impossible. Apparently, though, Carson was checking his DMs at that time. Because what else are you going to do laid up on the other side of the country while your team is playing? Carson decided to respond. Quote, "F your fantasy team. Come make me play," end quote. Well, that's pretty succinct. That's pretty concise. That's pretty short and to the point. Probably a holy bleep moment for the jackwagon who thought that Carson was in Buffalo on the sidelines and not on the couch using his phone. Either that or the highlight of that guy's life. One or the other. Except that idiot was not going to go away, right? He wrote back to Carson, quote, "What's the address?" Classic internet tough guy. Like he's actually going to roll up on a 220-pound professional athlete. Carson, though, again, laid up, wasted no time in thumbing out his home address in Bellevue, Washington. And he added, and I quote, "Your ass better pull up." End of amazing quote. "Your ass better pull up." I mean, holy hell. Meet Me in Temecula has officially become Meet Me in Bellevue at my house. Meet Me in Temecula, right when I thought that it could never get better than that. It just did. And as you probably could have surmised, the keyboard warrior went dead silent and straight ghosted. Because, of course, like one dude wants the smoke and his name Chris Carson. The other dude is some anonymous toolbox who hopefully lost his fantasy game along with whatever dignity he still had left. I mean, you could argue that Carson got hooked, and that's never a good thing. I'm constantly talking about that, that guys like that, the toolboxes that try to get people on social have nothing better to do. That's the biggest win of their life. Like, they won their day, they won their life. They got an athlete to respond, or they hooked an athlete. That is such a win for them. This is why I've said a million times, do not get hooked. This is part of the territory. This is what you signed up for. Don't do it. I mean, best case scenario, the optics are bad. Bad case scenario, you do something really injurious to your career. You know, hitting some degenerate up and telling him, F your fantasy team, here's my address, your ass better pull up, might not be the best idea. But you know what? It's not the worst look. And on some level, I get it. On some level, it's kind of cool. And I'll explain that. Like, in other words, my foot is injured, but there's nothing wrong with my fists or my thumbs or my mouth. Come pull up and find out. Better yet, quote, your ass better pull up. Again, I am not suggesting that athletes fight fans. Nor do I ever think it's a good idea to get hooked by some rando or some egg on social. But you could see where an athlete who is already hurt and frustrated because he's not out there in the fight with his actual brothers, you could see where that athlete who's not in the fight with his brothers might welcome an actual fight with some idiot who is sliding into his DMs and questioning his manhood. You could see where a guy like Carson might say, you know, I'll take the good with the bad. I'll take the idiot fans. It's part of what I signed up for. I know this. But there is an actual line. And buying a ticket to a game, or better yet, having a guy on your fantasy team does not give you license to cross that line. And if one more dude does cross that line, if one more dude comes at me and questions my manhood, it's go time. You want to question my toughness. You want to question my manhood. You want to question my willingness to play through it. Come see me about it. Here's my address. You don't even need to call ahead of time. I'll be here. I mean, again, like, I don't condone it, but I can see how an athlete would feel that way because there is a line. That's my point. There is a line. There is a line, and there are consequences if you cross that line. You can't just do and say whatever the hell you want as a fan. And as of now, despite having his home address and despite being invited to pull up, this rando has not pulled up, which is not surprising because the only thing more certain than fantasy guy being a D-bag is fantasy guy being an all bark, no bite D-bag because Carson's there and the door is unlocked and he's waiting and this guy's got the address and was invited to pull up. Again, fantasy football is great. People who play fantasy football are fine. They're great. But not all of them. There is that special breed that's not. The breed that goes online and calls out athletes and slides into their DMs and questions their manhood and then gets invited to pull up and do something about it and doesn't. Probably better that way. 1-800-636-8686 at 512 Lumber tweets, if fantasy football guy pulls up, it'll probably be in a Corvette. All right, now that's not really fair. Fantasy guy may not necessarily be Corvette guy, but he might be. Dear Jim, 15 years ago, I missed a step two, but where you fell on marble, I fell on a pineapple. Signed, Norv. Nor of who? Brett and Bugaha were my first ever contribution to the show being a Tony LaBuza text. Wow, to think how far we've come over the years and how much we've evolved. Yeah, it's funny, Brett. We have, Brett. You haven't. I have. We have. The show has. You've devolved, Brett. Somehow you've gone backwards. You've gotten worse. Romy. You fell down the stairs in the dark? Sure you did. Regards, Nose Dustin Johnson. slipping on the stairs in his socks. Denny in the 402. He's one of the ones to beat this week. Unless he's wearing socks on his wooden stairs and falls again on his nose. This is why NFL players hate Fantasy Guy. Martellus Bennett joined me, and we had this very discussion once.
Fantasy football people who always come to me like, oh, I drafted you and this, blah, 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 blah. You know, fantasy football sucks and your team sucks. Just want to let you know, unless your team name is the Black Unicorns or the Black Marty Bees.
That was him on Radio Row 2014. Let me hear that again. That was Marty B. Man, I miss him. Martellus Bennett was one of my favorite interviews ever.
Fantasy football people who always come to me like, oh, I drafted you and this, blah, 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 you know. Fantasy football sucks and your team sucks. Just want to let you know. Unless your team name is the Black Unicorns or the Black Marty Bees.
That was Kyle Brandt in the background laughing. That was funny. Marty B is always funny. All right, so we start hour number two, and when we do, we will start with Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Packers wide receiver. That's coming up next. You're in the jungle. Do not go anywhere.